wife and tell your children what good things the Lord has done in your life. Go home and tell everybody that Jesus is in the unshackling business. And so the text says in verse 20 that the man departed to Decapolis, literally 10 cities of the region, telling everybody about the great things that the Lord had done in his life. And the text says that the people were all amazed. Well, now somebody here this morning need to go home and tell your family members, tell your neighbors and your friends about the goodness of the Lord. You ought to tell somebody that nobody is too low down that the Lord can't lift up. Tell somebody that nobody is too lost that they can't be found. Tell somebody that nobody is too shackled by sin and Satan that the Lord can't unshackle. Tell them that nobody is too filthy and too dirty that the blood of Christ can wash them and make them free. As the songwriter says, he said, there is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and they lose all their guilt the same. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. I tell you, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. That blood that give me strength from day to day, I tell you, will never, no, never lose its power. Because I tell you, one day I was shackled and bound by sin and Satan that was dragging me down to eternal damnation. But when the Lord Jesus came into my life and loosed the shackles that had me bound, now I'm free. And I'm unshackled from the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. Because sin and death have no power over me. Hell is my destiny, and grave can't hold me forever. I tell you, I'm free, and I'm unshackled. To tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Ain't God all right? I'm free and unshackled, and I'm a witness that Jesus is in the unshackling business. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul to the utmost? Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. I tried him for myself. Yes, Lord. Jesus is in the unshackling business. I don't care what it is that has you bound. Turn it over to Jesus. And not only will he set you free, but he's able to make you free. He's able to make you free, and you'll be free indeed. And so may God bless you, and may God keep you, is our prayer. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, but then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. tell you something. Something happened. And now, right now I know, oh, he touched me, and he made me whole. Has he touched your life this morning? I said he touched me.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
The Book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse number 6. Just one verse. Matthew, chapter 28, verse number 6. When you find it, please say amen. All right. The Bible says, he is not here, for he is risen, just like he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lives. While you are still standing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for this special day. It's good to know we don't serve a dead God. Our God is alive forevermore. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to this house. Thank you for every family present. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives, individually, collectively. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house. Speak to our spirit man. Touch us in a very special way. Heal those who are sick. Make a way for those who are looking for divine help. Somebody is here today in need of a savior. We know nobody can come to you except you, God, draw them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak to our heart. I pray that you will speak to our soul. Glorify yourself in this house. Lord, I need your help to proclaim this gospel. Without you, I cannot do it. Use my mouth as a ready writer for your glory. I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. And I pray for deliverance. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, The Power of His Resurrection. The Power of His Resurrection. The reason why we are talking about that is because today is the Resurrection Sunday. I don't want to assume that we all know what that is all about. So let's start out by asking the question, what is resurrection? My brothers, my sisters, resurrection is simply when somebody died and he or she came back to life. Resurrection is when somebody died and that person rose again. According to the word of God, and we believe the Bible, the Bible said Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And guess what? He rose again. So the passage I just read to your hearing is what happened when he rose again. His disciples, especially women, they were looking for him. I mentioned the word women to help those who think women should have no place in ministry. But for those sister girls, we all probably still be lost because everybody skipped town. But those women went to the graveyard. They were looking for Jesus Christ. And while they were looking for Jesus Christ, an angel appeared to them. And the angel told them, sisters, he's not here. He is risen. I can stop there and preach to you because you need to remember that your pastors from a foreign country. So English is my second language. Yes, so every word matters to me. Yes, when the Bible say he is risen, notice the Bible did not say he has risen. In English language, we call that present tense. What that means, my brothers, my sisters, Jesus is alive today. That's something to shout about. Amen. And amazingly, just to make sure that it's just not the book of Matthew, I check other gospels, and all of them saying the same thing. In Mark chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible said, he is risen. In Luke chapter 24, verse 6, the Bible again said, he is risen. So when you see preachers talk about he has risen or he hath risen, they missed something. Our Savior is alive right now as we speak. Alive and well. Amen. It means, my brothers, my sisters, our faith is not in a dead God. Our faith is in somebody who is alive and alive forevermore. Today, therefore, I say unto you, if anything is dead in your body, if anything is dead in you, it will be revived. Right. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. I mean anything. Your hope. Your dream. Your vision. Your finances. Your marriage. Even organs in your body. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. Just look at somebody next to you and let him know, let her know, because Jesus is alive. I am alive. Tell them again, because Jesus is alive, I am alive. Amen. Somebody. Everything dead in your body, in my body, it will be revived this morning. Come on, shout hallelujah. Open your mouth, shout hallelujah. Amen. Please notice that Jesus did not stay in the tomb. Neither should your hopes, neither should your dreams, neither should your visions. Resurrection simply means a continuation of the life of Jesus Christ in the now. Everything the Lord has put in your spirit, man, you ought to make sure the devil don't kill it. Somebody shout now. Salvation now. Healing now. Deliverance now. Miracles now. Because our God is alive right now as we speak. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is the church has reduced resurrection to a mere tradition. The church has a problem. They have reduced resurrection to an historical event. And the Lord sent me to remind you and I that this matter of resurrection is clear that Jesus is alive, not yesterday, but right now as we speak. Amen, somebody. Amen. Until we get that revelation that Jesus is in the now, that we serve our risen Savior, we're missing something. In many religions, notice, Jesus is regarded as an historical figure. In many religions, they consider Jesus to be a philosopher. Many people think he's just a prophet. Many people say he's just a good man, a nice guy, a good teacher. And all of that sounds good, but don't let religion rob you of the fact that He is the Savior of the whole world. And He is alive today. Religion also have reduced His miracles to mere myth and legends. If you listen to church folks, you go to their churches, they will tell you what used to be. But our God is a now God. Amen. Because we reduce him to an historical figure, and because we only talk about myth and tradition, then we find churches only operating without his power. And that's the problem of the church. As a result, we're not able to meet the needs of people. That's why the Bible says we're having a form of religion, but we're denying the power that is in the name of Jesus. As a result, we are not able to meet needs of people. We've become a bunch of powerless saints. And that is what the Lord is sending me to remind you that you serve a right now God. Because we only think of traditions and religion and history, we are powerless. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, we have money, but we ain't got no power. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, we are riding nice cars, but we ain't got no power. My brothers, my sisters, many of us, we live in big houses, but we ain't got no power. Preachers, bishop, archbishop, they have education, degrees after degrees, but they ain't got no power. You'd be surprised how many of us show up this morning with tailor-made dress, but they ain't got no power. I'm trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, you can tell we ain't got no power because you'd be amazed how many preachers, if you ask them to lay hand on a dog, they can't make that dog bark. This is not the will of God for the body of Christ. That's why the Bible, in case you don't know, the last statement that Jesus made here on earth, you know, tradition will make you go through seven last sayings. No, let me tell you Jesus' last saying. His last saying is that you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you can be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in utmost part of the world. You see how we missed it. God wants you and me to have power, not just for the preacher, but for all of us. This is why Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Oh, that I may know him." He said, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering." Resurrection gives you power. Please don't just have religion. Get power today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning from verse 1 through verse 5, Apostle Paul says, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech." Verse 2 says, "I am determined to know nothing from you. I'm not interested in your programs. 100 men in black, 100 women in red, everybody going to dress with whatever." He said, "I'm not interested in that." He said, I want to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse number 4 says, take note that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word. Your pastor is a classic example of that. My English, my grammar is not the best. Paul said, I don't come to you with any of that. He said, but I've come to you to demonstrate. To demonstrate the spirit and the power of God. One day I'm going to be gone. I want to be remembered as a man of God who came to town to demonstrate that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Resurrection gives you power to let you know our God is alive and well. Verse number 5 of that same scripture says, the reason why this is important is so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but that your faith will stand in what? The power of God. The power of God. You show me a man of God, a woman of God, any real Christian, look for the demonstration of the power of God in that man, in that woman. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, church folks believe that historically Jesus healed. They have no problem believing the story. But if you don't believe that he can heal you now, all you got is religion. We need to meet human needs right now. Today, the world is seeking for answers. They don't need religion. They are looking for answers to their problem. Many people are sick. They want a God that can heal their body. Many people are afflicted. People got cancer. You'd be amazed. All the parking lot of the hospitals in this neighborhood is full. Ladies and gentlemen, people are oppressed and depressed. Family dysfunction. Guess what our community is looking for? The power of God. A demonstration of the power of God. Yes, they go to the doctors. Yes, they go to the counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and gynecologists, all kinds of logic. But the truth be told, as blessed as we are with all those doctors and counselors and psychiatrists, they are only managing the problem. That is why you go to a doctor's office. Before you leave, they make you another appointment. That ought to tell you you're not cured. You have to come back again. Sometimes they will say, come back next week. I wish I had me a witness in there. Sometimes they say, come back in 3 months. The reason why they ask you to come back is because they know they cannot cure you. But there is a God who can heal all your disease. There is a God who can fix every broken mind. There is a God who can restore everything the devil has stolen from you. If you believe that, shout amen. So if all we can offer to this world to this community is just historical Jesus, we have missed our calling. And all we got is a nice religion. But let me suggest to you, my brothers, my sisters, religion cannot bring Jesus into now. Did you hear what I said? At best, what religion offers anybody is just empathy and apathy. They can feel sorry for you. Just think about it. If you go to them and say, I'm depressed, can you all pray for me? And they will offer some kind of self-pity prayers. But you come sick and you go back home sick. That ought to tell you no power. Real solution is in the power of Jesus' resurrection. Without resurrection, my brothers, my sisters, you cannot have heaven now. Religion will talk to you about in the sweet by and by. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life now. And you can have it abundantly. Without resurrection, you cannot bring heaven into your problem. Without resurrection, you cannot bring Jesus or bring heaven into your impossibilities. So I said again, resurrection is a continuation of the life of Christ in the now. If you don't hear anything else, I have to say, grab hold of the revelation that the God whom you serve is alive and well right now. Amen, somebody. And why is that important? People need to see the power of his resurrection demonstrated in your life. People need to look at your life and see the manifestation of the power of his resurrection. People ought to look at your children, your business, your ministry, every area of your life. People ought to look at you and say, how? I may not like that sister, but the power of his resurrection is manifested in his life. Are you all still here this morning? So what's the big deal about this resurrection? What resurrection did is to prove to the whole world that we don't serve a dead God. In case you miss it, Jesus went to two courts. The lawyer and me, I'm tempted to analyze it as a case. He went to a religious court and he went to a secular court. And both courts found him guilty. Are you all still here? So the only way for Jesus to prove that he is not guilty is for him to come back to life. Now you understand why resurrection is important. And so I was thinking, I said, wait a minute. Now, if I'm in a courtroom, Leslie, and they ask me, what is your proof that Jesus is alive? How do you know that he lives in the world today? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ladies and gentlemen, the obvious proof is the empty grave. If he was still in the grave, he'll be there. Every religion, they have their leaders and they have their graves. In fact, our brothers and sisters who are Muslim, in case you don't know, they make a pilgrimage every year to where their God, their prophet, was buried in Mecca, in Medina. The grave is there. And so you make a trip there. And Muhammad died at age 61. So they buried him there. And you go there and they march around the grave to salute because he's still there. Buddha is still where they buried him. Confucius is still where they buried him. But oh, Jesus. He's alive and well. The empty grave is there to prove that your Savior, my Savior, lives. That's why we say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all of my fears are gone. Because I know who owns my future, and life is what I live in just because he lived. Do I have a witness in the house? Somebody shout hallelujah. Now let me tell you briefly why this resurrection is so important. What does the resurrection itself prove for you and me? Number one, it proves what we call in a court of law, vindication. What did I call it? Ladies and gentlemen, God, through resurrection, literally overthrew the decisions of every human court. The court convicted him guilty. But God overthrew that decision and showed the whole world that the human courts were all wrong. There's a lesson there for you and me. I want to talk to somebody today that you've been accused wrongfully. I want to talk to somebody today you've been lied on and talked about and persecuted, sometimes even rejected on your job, rejected even within your family. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that someday God will vindicate you. Are you listening to me? Oh, I wish I can testify sometimes how people would lie on you and make up stories that are not true. But it's good to wake up every day because God, the same God who vindicates Jesus, your vindication day is coming soon. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. Please notice, and this is true, if Jesus is not risen, you know what people will say? He must be guilty. That's how we roll in the courthouse. If they locked you up and they throw the keys and say you're going to be there for 30 years, people will say, well, he must be guilty. But because he rose again, resurrection proves he is not guilty. Amen. Say amen to that. Another thing resurrection proves besides vindication is that it proves Jesus' credibility. When we go to the courthouse, it's very important that you are considered credible. You can run your mouth all day, all night, but at the back of our mind, everybody is trying to see, is this man, is this woman credible? Notice Jesus claims to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man. He claimed to be the way. He claims to be the truth. Jesus claimed to be life. He claimed to be the King of Kings. That's him testifying in the world court. He claimed to be the Lord of Lords. If he is not risen, his credibility is no good. But hallelujah. Everything he claimed to be, his resurrection proves he is. Shout amen to that. So that is why I believe with all my heart, whatever is missing in your life, whatever is missing in my life, Jesus claimed to be a way maker. He claimed to be a deliverer, a healer. You can receive everything right now. Everything the devil has stolen your life, you can be restored right now. Because what Jesus said he is, his credibility is sure. Right now as we speak, he's reviving everything concerning you. He's reviving your dreams as we speak right now. He's reviving your vision as we speak right now. Some of you, not just vision, the spirit. Some of you, you have eye, but you don't see good. Blurry vision. God is reviving your vision right now as we speak. Some of you have relationship that is at the verge of collapse. God is reviving your situation right now. The Bible says he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And will be the same forevermore. He is reviving your family right now as we speak. He is reviving your finances right now as we speak. He is reviving your health right now as we speak. Somebody asked me, say, Brother Pastor, how are you doing? I say, fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. Why? Because I don't serve a dead God. He sent his word and healed of infirmities, of sicknesses, of disease. Amen, somebody. Well, let me tell you something else that this resurrection proves. Can you all handle the truth? I say resurrection, number one, is a vindication that he is not guilty. Number two, I say resurrection proves that he is credible in everything he said in the word of God. And thirdly, resurrection proves to you and me that death is only temporal. Can you all handle the truth? In case you don't know, man's greatest fear is death. Nobody wants to die. If I ask you how many of you have picked your casket, you'll be surprised. No hand will go up. You know why? Because you don't want to die. We're all afraid of dying. But think about it. Why will you be afraid of death when you know it's only temporal? In fact, the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, am I still in the book? We have a building eternal in the heavens, not made by hand. Am I still in the book? The same book, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, and because Jesus died, and he was buried, and he came back to life, it lets you know, my brothers, my sisters, death is temporal. So if the doctor tells you, hey, brother, cancer. Or the doctor tells you, hey, sister, you only got 2 weeks. You ought to tell whatever they said you got. I'm testifying now. You ought to look yourself in the mirror and tell that cancer or tell that leukemia, you're not going to kill my body. Why? Because death is defeated. Did you hear what I said? I said because of resurrection, death is defeated. Lift up your hand right now and shout resurrection. Resurrection. Jesus demonstrated to you and me that you don't have to be afraid of death. His resurrection is a vindication that he was not a bad guy they portray him to be. His resurrection proves his credibility. He told them, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it back up. That's like looking at everybody in the face and say, I'll be back. And literally, he came back to life. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you. My God is not dead. And because your God is not dead, guess what? Your body is not dead. Because your God is not dead, your marriage is not dead. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody now. Because your God is not dead, your finances are not dead. Because your God is not dead, your health is not dead. And because he's alive, you are alive too. Because he lives, you can face today, you can face tomorrow, you can face next month, next year, next decade. Open your mouth, shout amen. Decree and declare right now. The Bible says, if you decree a thing, it shall be established. Open your mind and decree, my body is not dead. My spirit is not dead. My soul is not dead. What about your health? What about your finances? What about your family? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, before I close this court session, Let me call one more witness to this time. This is how we roll. We say, Your Honor, may I please the court. Before I rest my case, I'd like to call one more witness. And the judge will say, proceed, counsel. I say, defense would like to call Mr. Jesus. Oh, glory. And then you tell him, say, raise your hand to be sworn in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? He say, I do. In fact, Your Honor, I am the truth. Glory be to God. And in my sanctified mind, and this is what lawyers will do. The first question they're going to ask you, sir, will you please state your name for the record? And I can hear Jesus say, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I'm the end. I am that I am. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Omega, Mr. Beginning, Mr. The End, will you please give your testimony? You know the Bible say they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. They say, Mr. Jesus, do you have a testimony? He said, I was born 2,000 years ago. I lived and I died. And I was buried. But they put me in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, I got up with all power. He said, Your Honor, before I got up, I went to hell and paid for all your sins and take care of all your disease and take care of all your sicknesses. And now I got the keys of life and death in my hand. And if you're here today and you can believe, it said the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, he lives inside of you. He will quicken your mortal body. He will fix everything the devil has messed up. Open your mouth, shout amen. So now God is telling all of us through Jesus. He said, go tell Governor Pilate he was wrong. Go tell the Pharisees they were wrong. Go tell the chief priests they were wrong. Go tell the Sadducees.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family. Thank you.